You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. That question is, what is a situation in your life where you have been hurt by somebody? This isn't something you need to share with the people around you, just because I know you can get into the weeds of that, but man, just think through that. Like, think in your life, what is a situation that you've been through, that you've been a part of, where somebody has hurt you? That can be small, that can be large, that can be emotional, that can even be physical in some sense, but what is a situation in your life where somebody actually hurt you? All right, but by raise of hands, who would say, man, I know the situation, and it's actually quite obvious to me where somebody truly hurt me? By raise of hands. And some of you are like, man, I've never been hurt. Man, if that's you, awesome. Get outside, I guess. I don't know, touch grass. No, but the truth is, if we're all honest, most likely, man, we've all had a situation in your life, and probably many, where somebody else has hurt you. And first off, before we get into that, man, I really want to say I'm sorry. That's never fun. That's never good. So I'm sorry for whatever situation, especially if you're still going through that. Maybe you're still going through that hurt. I'm very sorry. Man, when I was thinking about hurts, I thought about some physical pain in my life. This doesn't have anything to do with really somebody else hurting me, but I've busted my head open 4 times in my life. All were me doing it to myself. I was a rambunctious kid. You have to realize I grew up without a phone, so you guys don't know what that looks like, but no, I'm just kidding. I did grow up with a phone, and so you would like jump around and actually do stuff. And so I busted my head open 4 times. One actually was my brother. He like watered the steps as I was walking up them, and boom. The other, I jumped off the bed right onto a dresser. Then I had a rope with a piece of metal on it, swung it around and hit me right in the middle of the head. The fourth one, I can't remember why, because I busted my head open 4 times. I broke my arm growing up as well. It's the only actual bone I've ever broken. Shout out to one of our volunteers right now who's going through the same thing of a broken arm. So, and then also, this is my favorite hurtful injury I had, because it's my, like, it's actually kind of a low-key flex. I had tendonitis in my elbow, and my coach told me it's because I was practicing too much. And I was like, are you telling me I'm working too hard? And he's like, yeah, you're working too hard. And I was like, all right, come on. And then I had to sit out for 2 weeks. And that stunk. But no. So those were like when I was thinking of just pain. And then I realized, man, those weren't like somebody else hurting me. So I thought through some moments in my life maybe where somebody else was kind of the source of the pain that I was feeling. The one that immediately comes to mind is my parents getting divorced. I still remember the night that my parents sat me down twice. One was when they told me that they were separating. The other one is when they told me that they were going to finalize and divorce. And I remember those feelings of hurt, of those pains, because there was a part of me that just kind of embodied that of like, what did I do wrong for this to have happened? What did I do to be a part of this? Another one was in college. I had a friend or somebody that I thought was very close to me. And then I found out kind of through the grapevine that he had been kind of sharing some lies about me or some gossip or talking about me in a way that I didn't think was promising or really embodied the friendship that I had with him. And I remember my feelings against him and how I felt so betrayed by him in those moments. Another one in college was I applied for this job on campus, and I got rejected from the job because of improper decisions that I had made while I was at college that kind of came back to bite me in the butt, where they said, hey, you did these things, and so because of that, we cannot pull you through as a candidate. And I remember the feelings of guilt and shame that came with that, of choices that I made came back to haunt me. And really what I'm saying here is, man, all of this kind of embodies this one, the one word of hurt. And in many of those situations, I look and I say, man, somebody else was at the core of this. One thing was my parents being at the core of the hurt that they caused me when they decided to divorce and split, and the pains that that caused me. The other was my friend, of him causing me direct hurt because of words that he would say against me and not to me. And then even, man, if we're honest, some of us experience hurt from our own self. Of, man, I created a decision and made decisions that led to opportunities being taken away from me because I did things that I shouldn't have. But still, I also felt a little bit of betrayal from the people that decided not to hire me. But the truth is, for you, you have been hurt, and if we're honest, you will be hurt. There will be more moments in your life where hurt's going to come to you. And I think the easy way out is it's easy for us to get very angry at the people that have hurt us, get very angry at the situation that is in front of us. And it is easy for us to hold grudges of holding on to those feelings. And if somebody hurts you, kind of just abandoning them and saying, like, we will never be the same and I don't want to talk to you ever again, and continuing to hold that anger against them. And what that usually leads to is two things: slander and gossip. Slander of being very rude or mean directly towards somebody or against somebody, and gossip being putting somebody else in a bad lighting or talking about somebody, not to their face, but to somebody else in a very poor lighting. And that's the easy way. And that's, if we're honest, that's the world's way of saying this is how we should respond to hurt. And so really, I think the question that we need to look through as Christians is two things. Is it right? Is that way of response right? And if it is, that's that. I would argue it isn't. And then the second question that comes from that is, okay, but is there a better way? Is there a better way to respond to the hurt that I feel or the pain that I have that has been caused by somebody else? And so we're going to look at scripture to see what does it say about how should we respond to hurt. So we're going to be in Acts 7. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and go to Acts 7. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a little bit of context of what we're about to be talking through. Acts 7, the author is by a guy named Luke. He also wrote what is called the Gospel of Luke, or Gospel according to Luke. We were in Luke a few weeks ago. It is written to that same guy that Luke wrote the gospel to. He also wrote this book. His name is Theophilus. And really the purpose of this book, if we remember the purpose of Luke, the book of the gospel of Luke, was really to tell the world about Jesus. This purpose was to tell the world about the start of the church. So really we see what happens after Jesus comes and says what he says and does what he does and leaves. This is what happens afterward. And this is how the church is started. And so we're picking up in a story of a guy named Stephen. And what happened is this guy named Stephen was a part of the early church, and he would go and tell people about Jesus, and he would go proclaim Jesus. And he goes to the certain crowd and he proclaims Jesus and says, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, and proclaims him or tells about him as such. The people don't like it. And so what they do is they kind of gather around him, and they're planning against him and plotting against him, and they actually imprison him. And so his response to them is to kind of go deeper and really show them how the people that the Jews or the people that are imprisoning him, how they have always been given the person of God, but always rejected him. And he kind of walks them through history of how they've rejected God's way over and over and over and over. It's a really cool section. That's in chapter 7. And if you have time, go read it, because it really is just kind of shows you really a quick walk through the Old Testament. And then he gets to Jesus and he kind of says, and you're doing the same, you did the same thing to him, and now you're doing the same thing to his followers. And that's where we pick up, is how they respond to being confronted with this truth. And it says this in verse 54. It says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped the ears and rushed together at him. So Stephen's here, and Stephen tells them these things, and the crowd, they get enraged. It says they grabbed him and they took him out of the city. They took him away. And then as they started to kind of crowd around him, they said he looked up and he saw Jesus seated at the right hand of God. So basically he says he's told them about Messiah, and then he looks up and he sees Jesus the Messiah in his rightful place and almost confirms everything that he had just told them. And so what he decides to do is to tell them again. He decides to respond and say, look, I'm seeing him. And like anybody, when they're told something that they don't want to hear, they just get louder. They get more enraged, and they got so loud so that they couldn't hear him, and so that nobody around could hear what he was saying. Continues in 58 and says this: then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witness laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. This is really important. And you might not know what it means to be stoned. Basically, it would be as if we placed somebody in the corner, we all picked up rocks, and we just threw it at him until he died. And that's what they did to Stephen. They just kept throwing rocks. And, you know, they're not pebbles, but literal rocks until he died. And then it says, this is so important, they took his garments and laid it at a man named Saul. And they said, a young man named Saul. Basically, what they were saying is, they put it at this guy's feet to say, is it okay that we're doing this? And the guy's name is Saul. What we know about this is Saul who would eventually turn into Paul. If you know Paul, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Really, he has a transformational moment in the book of Acts to become a Christian. But this is kind of his first telling of showing where Saul was. So, man, Saul's story is incredible. If you ever hear about Paul, just know that, man, he came from a very rough background. And it's kind of this small moment where we get to see, even in this story that has nothing to do with him, that, man, God can take us from some incredible places where we are fully against them, but he can bring us full circle. Nobody's unsavable, right? Okay, so that was just a little aside, but I think it's so cool whenever we see little things like that littered in Scripture. Finishes up in this section where it says this: and as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So as Stephen is getting butchered with stones, what he decides to do with his last breath is to raise up a prayer. And he prays two things. His first is he says, Lord, receive my spirit. Basically, he says, Lord, bring me to you. Lord, I've seen you sat at the right hand of God. I want to be with you. That's where I want to be right now. That's where I want to be forever. Lord, I've lived my life up to this moment for this end. Receive my spirit. And then he says this, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I just want to sit in that. Think about that response. Think about you. I know it's so crazy to put yourself in Stephen's shoes. But even if you're like, man, I don't want to think about being killed because nobody really wants to. But think about just being in a moment where maybe everybody is against you. Maybe it's an opinion you have. Maybe it's everybody's making fun of you. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Just think of a story where, man, people are against you. And would it be your initial thought to go, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We'll multiply that by 1,000 as Stephen is in the midst of literally his life being taken from him. And he goes, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I think in this story, we see this exact representation of how we are to respond to hurt. Listen, we talked about early how easy it is to hold grudges, to gossip, to slander, to be against those who hurt us. We talked about, man, is that right or is there a better way? And I believe in this story, we see Stephen and we see the Holy Spirit telling us there is a better way. Is that this? Grace through forgiveness is the best way to respond to your hurts. Grace through forgiveness is the best way to respond to your hurts. When I say statements like this, I always think, okay, well, how do we prove this? How do we know this? Obviously, man, we see it in Stephen's story, but is that it? Is that the only place where we're going to see it? And I believe we know that this is the best way to respond to hurt, that grace through forgiveness is the best way to respond to hurt through two things. One, Jesus did it. think he's a pretty good standard, right? Jesus did it. Says this, before we get to the verse, I don't know if you, when I read this, you thought, man, that sounds very similar, the way that Stephen responded, because I'll tell you, it's very similar to the way that Jesus responded when he was on the cross. It says this in Luke 23, it says, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one to his right and one to his left. And Jesus said, as he's being crucified, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, it's almost word for word exactly what Stephen is saying right here when he's being stoned. So obviously, I mean, we probably know that Stephen probably knew. And so his way of responding is he's looking to Jesus saying, if Jesus responded that way, that is how I'm going to respond as well. And I think that's very powerful for him, but I think it's also very powerful for us. I think we need to understand, even in our moments of hurt, even if it's not substantial or large, we need to respond the way that Jesus would respond. And Jesus showed us. Jesus showed us that, man, his first thought when he was being put through excruciating pain is to say, forgive them. And so if Jesus is going to call for us to be forgiven, or for those who are hurting him and against him to be forgiven, then we need to as well. Ephesians 4 says it this way, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. Forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. I don't want you to think, look, I understand we're going to get into this, that forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is never easy. But let me tell you, when we are able to kind of step outside of the situation and understand, man, I get to forgive because I have already been forgiven, then it isn't something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do out of joy. It is something we get to understand. Man, I've been forgiven for so much worse. How great is it that I get to do that for somebody else? Jesus has forgiven me for abundantly more than I'm forgiving anybody else for. So I get the opportunity to forgive them for something so much smaller. I think it's a really cool thing that we get to do. But I think we have to understand that it isn't something that, you know, this is such a parent thing to say, but it's something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. But it's so true. We get to forgive because we have already been forgiven for so much more. But not only does scripture support, because Jesus did it, that we know that that forgiveness through grace through forgiveness is the best way to respond. But if we're honest, man, statistics prove this. Like there have been studies done that prove that forgiveness is just a better way. I was looking up the study, and it was done through a valid source, and it talks about this. It says that to forgive somebody, when you go through authentic, true forgiveness for somebody, depressive attitudes decrease drastically. Anxiety and stress become less of a struggle for you. And even this idea of toxic anger. Whenever I think of toxic anger, I'm like, what does that even mean? Truly, what toxic anger means is just having an attitude where the way that you live life is just you're getting angry at thing after thing after thing. Like small things happen in your day and you just get enraged by them. That's what's called toxic anger. And they said, man, practicing forgiveness, truly going out and forgiving those who have hurt you or wronged you, decrease all of these things drastically. Depressive attitudes, anxiety, stress, and toxic anger. I think it's so important because these are phrases that the culture around you have coined as things that are skying exponentially, things that are on the rise. And here scripture and even studies are looking and saying, hey, the way to decrease these is to practice forgiveness. Which I think is awesome because scripture has been telling us that thing and that same truth all along. Another thing that was really cool and kind of the flip side of that is that forgiveness actually improves self-esteem. Why I think that is so, so cool is that I think sometimes when we are hurt, we think the thing that is going to make us feel the best or almost increase our self-esteem the most is to hold that thing against them and put ourselves on a pedestal. what is actually true is that when we practice forgiveness and grace, that is what actually helps our self-esteem improve the most. Man, so this is how we know it. So what do we do about it? If we know that grace through forgiveness is the best way to respond to somebody hurting us, how do we live that out? How do we practice that? I thought of four very tangible things of a how to forgive somebody. If I were to look at you and you were going to say, man, I need to practice forgiveness. I need to forgive this person for this situation. Here, Nate, how do I do that? These are the four things that I would tell you to do, okay? First thing I would tell you to do is pray. Man, our decisions, especially when it comes to a hurt that we have, need to be started, endured with, and ended with prayer. That means when somebody hurts you, even before you think about forgiving them, pray. And then also, while you're in the process of forgiving them, whether it's the conversation or whether it's leading up to the conversation, pray. And then when you finish that conversation, when you actually forgive somebody, pray again. Man, we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people of prayer, especially when we're going through a moment that seems so tough. And I'm telling you, forgiveness can be so tough. Start, enjoy, and end with prayer. So pray. Second, own 100% of your 2%. Own 100% of your 2%. And I heard this said, and I thought it was so good. I mean, I've loved this statement ever since I've heard it. What this means is, in 99.9 repeating of situations where somebody has hurt you, you are not blameless. I want to get rid of this whole thought process of you are either the good guy or the bad guy. We are sinful, messed up, broken people. The old adage is, hurt people what? Hurt people. Man, own 100% of your 2%. That means in whatever way you have wronged the person who has hurt you, whether it's before they hurt you, whether it's even after they hurt you, maybe the way that you've talked about them or responded to how they hurt you, own it. Own it. And then apologize for it. Realize that, man, there isn't this idea of it's all them or it's all me. Even if it's super small, most likely you did something that you shouldn't have in that process. Own that. Realize that. Own 100% of your 2%. Thirdly, have a conversation and be clear. We live in a society that just says avoid everything. If it's confrontation or if it's something that you don't want to do, just don't do it, right? I mean, that is not a Christian or good way of handling life. And if somebody's hurt you, if it is possible, have a conversation with them about it. And in that conversation, be very clear. Be very clear about what they did that hurt you. Heard it said, clarity is kindness. Man, we need to be a people that are very clear about what we're saying, what we believe, and that includes this. Man, if somebody's hurt you, just go up and tell them about that. I think sometimes we create these scenarios in our mind, right? Like the shower thoughts of like, oh, well, if I did this, this is how they would respond, and then I would have to respond this way. Man, life isn't like that. Most of the time, the way that we think is just absolutely wrong. Have a conversation and be clear. And in this conversation, to point back to one, own 100% of your 2%. Man, I think there's so many moments in my life, so many fractured relationships, so many people that I still don't talk to today where I think back and say, man, if I just had a conversation with them when it started, how simple and quick would have that been resolved? That person or those people might still be in my life. Man, you're young. Don't let that be you. If there's somebody in your life where you're saying, man, there's a hurt that I've hurt them or they have hurt me, and take this as a calling. Go have a conversation with them about it. Be clear in what happened and own 100% of your 2%. And then finish with this. actually forgive them. Actually forgive them. And so many of us can say, man, I think the word I'm okay or it's okay is such a bad thing. Like somebody hurts you and they come to you and say, man, I'm sorry that I did that. Hey, it's okay. No, it's not, right? It's not okay. You got hurt. And we don't like that. And that's not good. And we need to practice true and actual forgiveness. It's okay to say, hey, thank you for saying that. That actually really did hurt me, but I forgive you. What we must understand is forgiveness is not words. I can tell you that I forgive you, but if I live my life or in my heart, I truly harvest anger and hatred towards you, then I didn't forgive you. So man, in those moments, we need to actually forgive them. And let me tell you, sometimes forgiveness is not a one-stop thing. It's not like you come to me and apologize and then I forgive you on the spot and that's it. Man, many times when we've been hurt, even if we truly forgave somebody, it maybe comes up later in life. Maybe in a week, we think about it a little bit more and we go, man, this still does hurt. Maybe I haven't actually forgiven them. Forgiveness sometimes has to happen over and over. Every day, every moment, forgiving somebody. Listen, I gave you these four things. They don't have to come in chronological order. Like when you are struggling to forgive somebody, you should probably pray. And then you should probably have another conversation about it. But these four things, I believe, man, if you actually do this, I won't say that forgiveness will become the greatest thing ever, but it'll become so much easier for you. It'll become so much easier for all of us. Yeah, pray about it. Own 100% of your 2%. Actually have a conversation and be very clear about what's happened. And then actually forgive them. Forgive them in your heart over and over. Every time you experience that pain of thinking about it again, man, forgive them again in your own heart. Listen, said this at the beginning, but it's true. You have been hurt. And you will be hurt. It's just the truth. You will go through life. Like you have so much life to live. And there are other hurts. There are other people that are going to do something that you don't like. There are other people that are going to treat you maybe a way that you don't like, talk about you the way that they shouldn't. It is our goal and our responsibility to decide how are we going to respond. When I get hurt, how am I going to respond to it? Am I going to hold a grudge and just live my life bitter? Because that's, I promise, that's what it leads to. It just leads to bitterness. If it never gets resolved, it just sits there. It doesn't go away. Or are we going to live in a life of grace and forgiveness? Again, out of the joy that we have already been forgiven for so much. So much. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.